He's been the voice of Chiefs Kingdom since 1994.
Damian Williams, 20, stays in bounds, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Kansas City, Damian Williams runs to immortality!
Here's Mitch Holthus on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan.
That's right. You hear him every Friday at 7:25. It is brought to you by Silverstein Eye Centers. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Centers. And it's also brought to you by GEHA. GEHA is the proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. We are now joined by that lovely, lovely sound of Mitch Holthus, the voice of the Chiefs. Mitch, we had a question earlier. Is there a quarterback before the game starts that goes up against these Kansas City Chiefs that gives you a little bit more butterflies than others?
Not with Mahomes on my side.
Yeah.
That used to be the case, but now it'd be Mahomes if he was on the other side.
Yeah.
And I don't say that to be arrogant, but I mean, we faced Josh Allen. I like Josh Allen. I think he's good. I respect him. But we've had the better quarterback ever since 2018 in that opening three games when he just told everybody, including the 49ers in game three that year, that the world is now totally different in the NFL. I know that sounds arrogant, but there's your answer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other thing, Dusty, I was monitoring you guys before I got on. I love it when you say really smart things. I love it. And you said a really smart thing because I'm going to take it a step further because you said in the same discussion that they get in the mind of the other quarterback. Like Brock Purdy is thinking, I'm playing Mahomes today. I've got to be nearly perfect. It also gets in the minds of the offensive coordinators we play and the head coaches.
Yeah.
If you're Atlanta, why don't you kick two field goals? You were going to win by one. Nope, you go for it. Fourth down twice and don't make it.
Yep.
That's the kind of decision where they haven't done that decision all year long, but against us, against the Chiefs, then they completely redo the thinking. So there you go. There's your answer. But I think you're onto something here. Again, I don't want it to sound like hubris. It's just what we're seeing every week.
Well, and I've said it for the last couple of years too, Mitch. When you look at the Chiefs and their opponent, the Chiefs are winning games on Tuesday because of the way that they're making these teams prepare for them and over-prepare for them and overthink. And they start thinking about stuff they don't need to be thinking about. And that's how the Chiefs are winning games too. They're kicking people's ass on Tuesday and there's not even a game.
On the other side of that, they're also kicking butt in June. They're kicking butt in August. I said this before. They're kicking butt in May. The way Andy Reid approaches his offseason is there's really no offseason. He is so prepared for every one of these games and for the season and for whatever the season puts forward. Look at all the adversity we've faced yet this year. So, yes, on Tuesday for the opponent, but for the way that Andy Reid prepares, it's crazy for 11 months. Out of the year.
So, Mitch, we got a big one against San Francisco. Obviously, first one back from the bye, first meeting since the Super Bowl a couple of months ago. How much of these teams change, both the Chiefs and the 49ers?
A lot. I think when you have these games, everybody thinks they compare it to the game in February, and it's crazy how the NFL can change in such a quick amount of time. Look at the Chiefs' offense. Look how we're relying now on, Kareem Hunt, Samaje Perine, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Xavier Worthy. None of those four humans played in Super Bowl 58. On the other side, it is the San Francisco defense. Guys, they lost eight dudes on defense to free agency. Eight. They have four guys that are on IR that are key guys. Everybody talks about Christian McCaffrey, and they should, and there's seven main guys on IR for the 49ers right now, but four of those guys are on defense, Hufanga being the leading one. Now, he didn't play in the Super Bowl, but there's guys that played in the Super Bowl. They're not going to play in this game because of injuries. And defensively, what they lost in the offseason, they're struggling on defense. They're 26th in the league now in points allowed. They lost, you guys, a 14-point lead to the Rams, who are struggling, and a 13-point lead at home to the Cardinals. Now, not all of that's defense, but when the stuff started to run downhill, the defense couldn't stop them.
You use a drum analogy to describe what San Francisco's got to do in this matchup against the Chiefs.
Were you in band, Dusty, in high school?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't a band guy.
You weren't that guy.
I wish I would have, because I'd have played either the bass guitar or the electric guitar.
Oh, yeah, and you'd have been bitter good. Who's the cool kid playing the bass guitar at a concert? And Bob, did you play in the band?
Not in high school. I played the saxophone up until eighth grade and the piano up until about eighth grade.
I bet you were a menace on that saxophone.
You should see some of the videos my parents have, no shirt on, playing that California Raisin song and playing the saxophone on my back like Back to the Future, my man.
And fake tattoos.
Yes.
I got it. Okay, I played trumpet in the Smith Center band for just 2 years, gave it up after the sophomore year. That being said, think about the percussion session and think about the snare drummer. Think about a snare drummer just taking the drumstick, Dale, did you touch my drumstick? And then just beat it. Like, just think of the beat. Like, tick, 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 tick. That's the San Francisco 49er offense. They so want to stay on schedule. They want to stay just on that beat. And if they stay on that beat, they'll beat you. If you go up and do the cymbal crash or you're Will Ferrell and steal the drumsticks, they hate it. It throws them off. If they get thrown off just a tad, it happened in Super Bowl 54 and it happened in Super Bowl 58. Once the avalanche starts, they struggle to stop it. And we've seen it happen this year because they're not as good defensively. But when that offense is taken off the snare drum rhythm where they have to follow not a 15-play script but a 30-play script, if you can pull them off that, especially early, you can wreak havoc with the 49ers. They're good. They're good. But they're also 3-3 for a reason. And I think, in my opinion, based on my study, that's what I've laid out for them. You get them off rhythm offensively. Defensively right now, they can't stop an avalanche. And then we haven't even got into special teams yet.
How do you get them off their game offensively?
You've got to do some unusual blitzing on first down, I think. The run fits have to be there. The Chiefs are great. I know that sounds coachy cliche, but Spags and that defensive staff and the whole staff have done a remarkable job. Think of who the Chiefs have faced. And with Mason in this game, looks like he's going to play. Mm-hmm. Jordan Mason's been really good. He wasn't a factor at all in Super Bowl 58, but he's good. They will have faced the number 1, 2, and 3 all-purpose runners in the NFL this year. We faced them all. Okay, you've got to win on first down. That's coach cliche. But sometimes you have to do some unusual things on first down and treat it like third down. And if you do and get them behind the chains or get them somehow off rhythm, then they don't like it. They want to get at least 4 to 5 on first down. That means they're going to do this on second down. That means they'll do this on third down if they ever get to third down. Very different from the Chiefs. The Chiefs have a script, too. They have a basic plan. But Andy Reid is a genius at taking a template but then adjusting all throughout the day. Not the 49ers. And I don't mean that as a criticism necessarily. It's just who they are. Mm-hmm. They're the snare drummer on the beat.
But not everybody's Andy Reid, though, too. I mean, like, that luxury that I think hopefully nobody's taken for granted, right? Like, having him on the sidelines and being the mastermind behind this gives our team such an advantage over everybody now in the NFL.
But Brock Purdy, and I hate the systems quarterback. I think it's too limiting. Brock Purdy's good, and he's having another good year. They're also having red zone troubles, too. I mean, we are, got it, 29th in the league. They're 24th in the league. They have, but they're also number one. The 49ers are number one in offensive points scored. And that's taking points and taking away defensive scores and special team scores. They're number one in the league. But they hit the red zone and the wall goes up. But Brock Purdy is the snare drummer here. And that's what Kyle Shanahan wants in his quarterback. I'm not sure he would like Patrick Mahomes, but he's going to hand Patrick Mahomes a snare drum. And Patrick Mahomes is like, what's this? And he'll pull it off and pull out Dusty's bass guitar and the saxophone at the same time, right? And he's got the saxophone over his back and the bass guitar, the lead guitar, humming it out. But the point is here, Purdy's perfect for the offense. He wants to stay right in rhythm. But you can try to do some unusual things. The other thing is the offense that he's putting pressure on the defense of the 49ers. That also puts pressure on the offense of the 49ers. I'm not saying getting ahead is essential, but it's helpful when you play a team like the 49ers and then start the avalanche. You go back to Super Bowl 54, the two most underrated plays in that game are blowing up kickoff returns at the 19 and the 20. Because then Chris Jones was knocking down passes. They're having 40-second possessions, and they can't stop it. 49ers can't stop it. Same thing happens in Super Bowl 58 when you get to the overtime. And by the way, we'll get to special teams, I know. But you get them, you win on first down. Now all of a sudden you have a timed blitz. Spags waited to run the blitz at the perfect time when he sent McDuffie to get them off the field on third goal. In regular, the 49ers are going to run out the clock, and we don't have a ring or a parade or anything else or T-shirts. A great blitz, timed perfectly by Spags, took them off the snare drum beat.
Mitch, before we get you out of here, I want to take you back to memory lane. You mentioned it earlier in the third season game of Mahomes' first year as a starter. What do you remember most about that amazing play and throw to Chris Conley in the corner of the end zone?
That the 49ers had a really good defense, and they go, we got him. It's Wile E. Coyote, got the Roadrunner wrapped around the tree and the Acme, you know, stuff. And all of a sudden, where's he at? Where did he go? He was right here. Now he's over here. But wait a minute, he's over here. It was like he's three places at once and then still had the vision to find Conley, ironically now with the 49ers, mm-hmm. back in the end zone. And that play where he pirouettes like three times, it's funny to watch the video of the opponent's sideline after those kind of plays. I've seen Mahomes do it now since 2018. They just shake their head. They throw their hands up and like, what are we supposed to do? Nothing we could have done. And there's nothing in that instance where the 49ers could have done it. Let me just say this about special teams.
Yeah.
Think about special teams in Super Bowl 58. Mm-hmm. Muff punt, right, changes the game. Oh, wait a minute, block PAT. That was kind of big.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This year, the 49ers have been a mess on special teams. Can you win a game in special teams like this? Can't. They've given up a 97-yard kickoff return to the Seahawks. They had a block punt against the Vikings. They have kicker issues. Both kickers are hurt. They've got Moody's hurt. Mm-hmm. Then they brought in Matthew Wright, who we brought in to fill in, remember, for Butker, mm-hmm. 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And he looks like he's 12 years old. I remember seeing him on the plane. And Mahomes was like, when did we sign Tate Nagy? It was Matt's kid. He's a great quarterback this year for Blue Valley West. Big game tonight, by the way. Tate's a really good athlete, but he was like, I don't know, freshman year, but that's what this kid looks like. Now he's hurt, but they're giving up block kicks. They're giving up returns. The Chiefs could absolutely dominate this game in special teams in every part of that. That could be a tipping point in this game.
All right, Mitch, enjoy the trip to San Francisco. Come back 6-0, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Snare drum, boys. Who's go take it? Be Will Ferrell. Take the drumsticks and come home with a win.
No doubt about it. Thank you, Mitch, for the time. That's Mitch Holtis, brought to you by Silverstein Eye Centers. Achieve your best vision and experience. Outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Centers, brought to you by GEHA as well. GEHA is the proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. I like that. Like a little snare drum analogy.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't Will Ferrell also do something to the drum set? Okay, I thought so. I thought he did something besides steal the sticks. I'm surprised he loves that. It's like the third time he's referenced Step Brothers on this show.
I was going to ask that. I think that's at least the second.
I'm impressed by that he likes that movie that much.
Maybe it's the only one he's ever seen.
No,
I can't.
But I've heard Mitch reference that movie. I love that. And I like that he said I had a smart comment. I don't get to hear that very often in my life. Normally it's a smart ass comment. This one was a actual intelligent smart. So appreciate you, Mitch Holtis, the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. You can hear Mitch Holtis on this station on Sunday on 96.5 The Fan as they take on the San Francisco 49ers in a rematch of the Super Bowl.